Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Last week, as we started our 21 days of prayer, we passed out these cards. These cards were pretty much on every seat or close. They're close to every seat anyway. But if you weren't here last week or you didn't fill out your card, I encourage you. You can pick some up at the back table there before you head out of the sanctuary or at the Welcome Center as well. But basically, we're a church that believes in the power of prayer. We believe some things won't happen if we don't pray. It's our partnership with Almighty God, and so on the front of this card is my bold prayer request, and that may be whatever it could be, whatever pops into your mind, whatever resonates within your heart of what your bold prayer request is, to write that down. And then on the back side of the card is my five-friend focus, that over the next 21 days, I'm going to be praying, and obviously it goes beyond, but I'm going to be praying for these five people that they would come to faith in Christ, that they would encounter Jesus, and that their life would be transformed by his resurrection power like he transformed my life and like he transformed your life. And so you take the top part of the card and put it on the altar, or you can drop it in the offering bucket when you leave, and then you keep the bottom part for you so that you're praying for what you're asking everyone else to partner with you in prayer. And I believe that we're going to see God do some powerful things. And I just want to encourage some, because as I was praying this week, as throughout, 6 a.m. Monday through Friday, we were here. I was here again yesterday at 9 a.m. and with several people just praying, and people would go up front and they would pick up these cards and they would begin to pray for your prayer request. They would begin to pray for your five people on the backside of your card that need Jesus. As I was thinking about this week, I just want to challenge some of us, because I feel like maybe there are some that, you didn't turn in a card because you've been praying for something for a long time and you're just like, I don't know. Man, please don't tie God's hands. Okay, God, I don't know why the wait is going on, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to write this request, and this is my bold prayer request. I mean, it's fun to look at them and to read them and to say, oh, man, this is huge. And then you read some others, and you're like, well, that doesn't feel like that big or that important, but it's important to that person, therefore it's a big deal, right? And so just want to encourage us, if you've not done this, then do it and let people partner with you in prayer, because you're not meant to live life alone. Amen? All right. So just encourage you to do that. You can grab them at the back table back there or at the Welcome Center. Today we began a new series entitled We Are LPC. And I'm super excited for this series as we take the remainder of the month and walk through who we are, what we're about, where we're going. And today I want to talk to you about mission. And when you walked in today, you received a towel. You didn't know you came to church today and you're like, man, I just need a towel. But you came to church today because you need a towel, right? And this is supposed to be, this is our rally towel for the day. All right, are you all familiar with what a rally, there Hunter is demonstrating what a rally towel is all about. I just encourage you, be careful of your neighbor's eyes. Maybe even their hair a little bit, right? Because there's some people, if you touch their hair, that's World War III. But so grab your towel, right? Grab your towel, all right? Just like wave it a little bit, like, woo, just act like you're at the Mile High Stadium in Denver, Colorado. There you go. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Woo, all right. So you wave it, all right? And usually when you grab a rally towel, a lot of times they'll have emblems printed on it and maybe a mission statement or a slogan or a button of what the company or sports team represents, their mascot. I didn't do that because I'm a little bit too cheap, to be honest with you. But if the graphic, if I would have spent the extra money to put the graphic on the towel, this is what the graphic would have been. That one, not that one, the next one. There we go. Our mission, to invest in generations to influence community. That's our mission. That's what we're about. And if you take this towel, take the towel back out, and do this, you can either hold it the long way if you want to, or you can hold it this way if you want to, this rally towel. And now just take it and hold it up to your chin, like this. And when you hold it there, what does this rally towel become right here? You know what it becomes? It becomes a bib. Doesn't it? And unfortunately, there are many people who go to church and they go to church with a bib mentality. A mentality that says, do something for me. A mentality that says, what's in it for me? Now you got to keep your, I didn't say take your bib off. What's in it for me? Or I like it this way, and if I don't like it, if I don't get it the way I like it, then I'm upset. Now, unfortunately, as I already said, there's a lot of people in the modern church that look at church that way. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not you. Now take your bib that's still up there, Mary. Take your bib up, still up here, right? And just drop it down a little bit. And what's the rally towel become when we drop it down a little bit? You know what it becomes? It becomes an apron. And when it becomes an apron, it takes on the heart of Jesus, because Jesus came, Scripture tells us, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. So as we're here, I understand there's some times where we need this, right? Life hits, a diagnosis comes, something happens in the family, and we need the church to gather around us and to help us, because we're feeling pretty weak, we're feeling pretty helpless. But Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus rescued you, if you're a follower of him, to give you life, and so that life can flow through you. And in serving him, we are giving life away. And out on the life wall, and as you walked in today, I don't know if you stopped and you counted, but there's 20 holes left within that wall. That's why we're praying for your five-friend focus. That's why I'm praying for the people on my list, praying for opportunities, praying that God would put people in their path that would be the fragrance and the lifeline of Jesus to them. Jesus said a lot of things about the church. He told his early followers to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. They were empowered by the Spirit. They preached. The church was birthed that day. And on that day, they influenced community. That first church service, if you will, there was 3,000 people that came to faith in Christ. They were baptized. Acts 2:41 tells us that. But just a mere six verses later, in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says this: the Lord added daily to those who were being saved. You flip over to Acts chapter 4, verse 4, there's 5,000 men that come to faith in Christ. Just men. Doesn't count the women and the kids that came to faith in Christ. Acts chapter 5, verse 14, it says that believers were increasingly added to the Lord. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the number of disciples was multiplying. And just 5 or 6 verses later, in verse 7, it says that the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. That's just the first 6 chapters of the book of Acts. We could go on. How was this happening? The church, you know, was being the church. They were living on mission. The church was serving its communities with the hope of Jesus. And this morning, as we walk through this message, dealing with our mission statement, as we walk through this series, we are LPC. If there's something maybe that's said, go ahead and just, you know, what do you call it? Wag? Move? Flip your towel, whatever you do. I don't know. I don't do it enough because my team doesn't win enough. But it's a new year. If our good friend, Pastor Don Crowley, was here from First Church of God in Christ, he called me the other day and we were playing phone tag. I was going to tell him I was going to use him for an illustration, but he would say, oh, come on. Say, yeah, woo, yes, Lord. This is from the black church across town that we love and we so enjoy opportunities to pray with them. But as we hold these towels, this goal, listen, the goal today isn't that we hold the towel. The goal today is that the towel would hold us. That the words that represent this towel, investing in generations to influence community, that it would help us to understand this, that your Heavenly Father believes in you. No matter who you are, no matter how long you've been here, no matter what your background is, no matter what your failures were last week or even yesterday, your Heavenly Father believes in you. Amen. That your church, listen to me, that your church believes in you. And Matthew chapter 28:19 is really our foundational text today, but for the next 3 weeks, we're going to wrap up the summer with this series called We Are LPC, and we're going to look at our mission, vision, statements, and imitating Christ and how we flesh that out with the values that we hold to. And today I want to talk to you about Mission Possible. The goal is to discover the mission of God towards you and through you. We are the target of God's mission, right? How many have ever seen the movies Mission Impossible, or maybe you've been around long enough, man, it's not the movie, you remember the TV show, right? But if you're familiar with the movies, Tom Cruise, who's the main actor, plays the role of Ethan Hunt, and there's Mission Impossible 1, 2, and 3, then they switched and got bored with numbers, and so they said, let's label them Ghost Protocol, Rogue Nation, Fallout. Now they're back to numbers because there was Mission Impossible 7. This summer, number 8 was released, which is a really good movie, by the way. And then 9 is coming. You know how they ended 8, you know 9 is coming. And Ethan Hunt never dies. James Bond is dead, but Ethan Hunt just lives on, man. He's like the Energizer Bunny. Hunt always has enough time to accomplish the mission. The phrase of the show or of the movie, if you're familiar with it, is this. Your mission, should you accept it, and then they name what it is. And then it goes on to say, if you are caught, captured, or killed, we will disavow knowledge of you. This message will self-destruct in five seconds. Good luck. And then after 5 seconds, the device starts smoking and then burns up. And from that point on, Ethan Hunt steps into his mission. And it doesn't matter how difficult it is. It doesn't matter how impossible it seems or overwhelming that it seems. The objective has been set, and the world teeters, unbeknownst to the world, right? In the movie, the world teeters on destruction, unbeknownst to them. And Ethan and his team of friends are working to save it, and they save it, and they walk, they ride off into the sunset, if you will, saving the world, and the world didn't even know it was facing destruction. And how true is that of our world today, spiritually speaking? His mission, Jesus' mission, was to rescue you. Rescue your family. Rescue your kids. Rescue your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your great-great-grandkids. Any great-great-grandparents in the house? I know there's some great-great-great-grandparents. Any great-great? Are you, Harlan's, he's not pointing them out. You're just counting people. Okay, I'm sorry. God's mission, to seek and to save that which was lost. And so I want to talk to you about four thoughts real quick, and then we're going to step back into worship. The first thought is this: the mission of God demonstrated. For God so loved and was so committed to the world that he sent his son to rescue the lost. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, we read this: for the Son of Man came to seek. And I love that. When you look at it in the original language, that word seek there literally means desire. The Son of Man came because he desires you. He likes you. He's not afraid of your gunk, muck, and mire. He desires you. He's seeking you because he wants to be with you. And then to save, literally meaning to deliver the lost. And some of you are like, man, I am not lost. I got here today with my Apple Maps. I'm good. I know how to get around. As long as I have Siri, I'm good to go. I know where I am, but spiritually speaking, people are searching and they're looking for something to satisfy their soul. They try everything. And here's the good news of Jesus. He came to search for you. That which was lost, Luke 15 tells us these incredible parables, right? The coin and the widow searches her house looking for the lost coin. And what happens when she finds the coin? What does she do? She celebrates. And then you have the shepherd that is missing a sheep. Just one. He has the 99, but the one has wandered off. And so he leaves the 99 to go find the one. And he celebrates when he finds the one. And then you have the story of the prodigal son and the father looking towards the horizon every day, waiting for his son, hoping and praying that his son comes home. And finally, his son comes home and he runs to meet him. The reality is, as we step into this message today, is that God found you. If you are still running from him, let me just put it this way: he will find you. He chose you. He consecrated you. He separated you. He called you his own. And because of that, you have a bright future. And let me just say this: the scars from your life that you have or that you are bearing right now, they don't define you. You know what they are? For the follower of Jesus, they're sermon illustrations. For you to use to share this life that you have in Christ. You've been called to step into your surroundings. Listen, you've been called to step into your surroundings. I've been called to step into my surroundings with a prophetic voice to the people in your influence. Think about the mission of God. Yes, God came after you. In the beginning, there was creation, right? And God created the heavens and the earth and all that was in there. And then he created the earth, right? And put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, man, I have abundant blessing for you. All of this is for you. Just one thing. Just stay away from this one tree, all right? Honor me by this one request. Satan comes in, tries to pull the wool over their eye, tries to misdirect their gaze. I mean, all of this is for you. All of it. Just this one thing. And the enemy tries to pull their eyes off of all that God provided, off of all that God had done for them, and put it onto the one thing that it wasn't for them or it wasn't for their time. Listen, Satan isn't just trying to frustrate you. You know, a flat tire or the long lines at the grocery store or the person that's walking down the middle of the parking lot lane and won't move and you're trolling them like, I mean, how close can I get to them? You know, Satan's not trying to frustrate you. The bad hair day, it wasn't because the devil's just trying to mess with your hair. The kid down the street, that's bad. It's like, hide your kids, hide your wife from that kid because the devil's in that kid. Satan isn't trying to frustrate you to make your life rough. Understand, he's trying to take you out. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy you. He's just not trying to frustrate you. So, no one says, man, I want to mess up my life. But we take off our eyes off God. We take our eyes off of what he's called us to be, called us to do, called us who we are, and then we get distracted. So let's be honest. There's something about breaking rules that is appealing to our flesh at times. No wonder Paul said this, I beat my body and I make it my slave. God has life for you. And there's this opportunity for you and I to step into mission and to live on mission with him. And as we do that, to reproduce the life of Christ in us, but also through us, and it touches other people, which gives us more life because we're like, oh man, I'm seeing God work. And we have an opportunity to do that, or we have an opportunity to rebel against what God has for us and what God wants for us. And let me just say this. I kind of said it in a different way a few weeks ago, but man, if you're going to rebel, rebel for God. Right? Be a rebel and read your Bible. Rebel against your, I don't want to get up at 6 a.m. and go pray. Rebel against your flesh. I don't want to love my neighbor. Rebel against your flesh and go love your neighbor. Perhaps some decisions you have made have been grenades that have blown up your life or blown up areas of your life. And listen, God is able to bring that all back together and put those pieces back in place. And lead you in a direction that he wants you to walk in. And understand, you have the rally towel not because your victory is coming. You have a rally towel in Christ because the victory has been won. You get that? This is the mission of God demonstrated. I want you to see next the mission of God defined. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. God called you by name. Called you by name. What I'm trying to get us to understand today, one of the things I'm trying to get us to understand is this. God has invested his Spirit in you, right? That at salvation, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, is alive within you. Think about that. I mean, that just blows my mind. It doesn't matter what generation someone is from, what generation they're a part of. We want to see Christ invested in them. And that investment will influence those who are around them. Case in point, yesterday, if I can use Steve Preston as an illustration, he's a U.S. missionary, works with, has a heart for people that go to car shows and show their cars all the time. And that's a crowd that those car shows are on Saturdays and Sundays predominantly all the time. So you know that that's not a church-going crowd for the most part. I'm not saying that there's not some that are believers in there. I'm just saying predominantly they're lost people. And God put it on his heart to be a missionary in that field. And so he goes and he does that. And one of his car guy buddies, his son, came to faith in Christ. Larry's a truck driver. And his dad is far from Jesus. But this relationship that Steve has with the dad and the son, and Larry came to faith in Christ, and Larry got baptized yesterday after our morning prayer time. Come on. This is this, right? I mean, the men's conference was going on, and I was like, oh, I want to go Saturday morning, but I want to go to prayer, and I want to see this baptism. I just didn't know what to do. I was like, God, can you like just make me in two places at one time? But that wouldn't work out, and so that would be kind of messy. And so I was here, and I saw Larry, and I heard his testimony, and I'm just thinking, man, Larry's he's my age. He's 40 or 50 years old, and the gospel of Jesus Christ penetrated his heart, and he came to faith in Christ, and now he wants to walk out in obedience, generation after generation after generation. Look, someone may never come to faith. But it isn't going to be because they weren't prayed for, they weren't cared for, and didn't have opportunity to see a life well lived. May that never be the case with our lives and with our church. I think we should see our life this way. I want you to see your life as a coffee cup or teacup, and you have that saucer that sits under that cup. And what's the purpose of the saucer, right? The purpose of the saucer is to catch the overflow. And it's impacted by the overflow. And your life is the coffee cup. And God is pouring his blessing. God's pouring his spirit into your life so that it would overflow into your saucer. And your saucer is your family, your friends, your sphere of influence, those people that you have privilege to come into, whether you like it or not, every day, every week, every month, every year, and you get to rub shoulders with them. May the Holy Spirit spill out from you onto them. God doesn't want you to put a lid with a straw on that cup so it becomes a nice little sippy cup. He doesn't want it just to be that type of a cup. He wants it to be about blessing other people. So the question then becomes, what are you going to put in your saucer? And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we read this, for we were his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And so may our prayer be today, may our prayer be tomorrow. God, your word says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that you prepared some good works for me today. I don't know what they are. I don't know. I don't have one planned out. But Lord, I pray that as I walk through this day today, that I'd be aware and I'd be sensitive, and I would see that good work. And I would step into it. And it would touch lives, and it would be that saucer. It would be the Holy Spirit flowing out of me, touching people. Galatians chapter 2:20, Paul says this: I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says this: therefore we are ambassadors, literally a diplomat of on behalf of a country. They are the mouthpiece of a president, is what a diplomat is, what an ambassador is. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God gave you salvation through Christ, but also understand, if you're already a follower of Christ, understand, please, God also gave you the message of reconciliation. That's just one verse earlier there in chapter 5. Your profession, your season in life that you're in right now, don't just go through that and think it doesn't really have a lot of meaning. It's really not that important. Tie that to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, and all of a sudden, your work doesn't just affect today. It's just not teaching a principle in the classroom or a topic in the classroom. It's just not machining parts any longer. It's just not turning a wrench because you're a mechanic or poking somebody with a needle and watching them wince and just smiling at them a little bit. It's going to be all right. It's not any of that. it becomes bigger than that. It becomes something that affects eternity. He called you and is using you. Be on mission. Number three, the mission of God declared. What's the mission? Well, we know the great commandment, love God, love people. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40 tells us that. The great commission is go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's Matthew 28, 19. Let me ask you a question. How many ever feel a little overwhelmed by the task of sharing Christ and making disciples? Man, there's times I do. I'm like, Lord, I just struggle with myself. I have good news for you. We have all felt that. But listen to the words and the promises of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus has given us all authority. Verse 19 tells us that. And as you go where you go and do what you do, whether you're a machinist, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a teacher, whether you work in the medical field, whether you're a pastor, whether you're retired, no matter what the role is, you have authority. You have authority to invest and influence. How? Because it's His authority. It's all about Him. Could it be that as we move from point A to point B in our day, in our week, maybe in a service on a Sunday, that God is placing people in your path for you to invest in? Without permission. Bart was sharing with me just a testimonial of something that happened in their life yesterday afternoon where God just was like, here's an opportunity. It's an incredible story. How do we live with an investing and influence mindset? I think you have to understand some things. I think you have to understand you get full authority. In Matthew 28, 18, it says, Jesus came and said to them, so this is right before the Great Commission, right? Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. But we just read there just a few minutes ago that all authority has been given to you. I just want to say this quickly. Walk confidently that God is ordering your steps, putting people in your path, opportunities in your way. I don't know what's going to happen this fall with LifePoint Church, but I can tell you what, man, I'm stoked and I'm excited because I believe God is putting opportunities in our path and in our way. And what are we going to do, man? We're going to step boldly towards those things in the name of Jesus. Number two, go in full intentionality. Look at it, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be intentional about my day. And I was trying to figure a way to just maybe illustrate this and kind of maybe have some fun with it. But our tendency oftentimes as we live life is to function off the mist. Oh, I like that song. Ooh, maybe that just did something for me. Or I like that preacher, or I like devotion times at this time, or I like being around this small group of people, or whatever, and we just kind of missed our way through life. And then we get around people, and we just kind of, a little dab will do you, and I got to go on. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you want to give more, but you don't feel like you can, and so you're just like, see ya. And we live in this world of TikTok that offers us 60-second inspiration sound bites. And if we're not careful, we begin to live that way in our interaction with people. Listen, Jesus doesn't want you to be a mister in your relationships. He wants you to be a discipler. So the question then becomes, God, how do I do that? How do we become that? Instead of doing this, I want to encourage you to do this. Because this takes more time than that. And this has greater effect than that. Because eventually, this runs out. Right? You pour in to people. These are people that God wants you to pour into, and maybe it's some of the individuals on your five-friend list that God is saying, hey, I want you to pour into them. And you're like, Steve, that's so overwhelming to me because I don't know where to start. And I think a good framework is to, look, do for one what you wish you could do for everybody. Start there. Jesus said, make disciples. Pour your life into people. Next thought, guarantee full security. When we commit to live out the mission, this is so awesome. This is so encouraging to me. We don't go alone. It isn't like Mission Impossible when Ethan Hunt gets the orders and then he hears this. If you are caught or found out or are killed, we will disavow any knowledge of you. Jesus doesn't say, hey, here's the mission. I'm just going to go chill on the couch a little bit and watch the instant replay to see how you're doing. No, he says, I'm with you. Matthew 28:20, he gives the Great Commission, and then what does he say? And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. In other words, you're not going alone. You aren't going in your own strength and in your own authority. You aren't going in your own understanding. That storm that you're stepping into, or maybe you're stepping out of, or maybe that you're right in the middle of right now, you aren't going into it alone. That frustration that you're experiencing, that the God of all peace is with you in that moment now. Your stretching is enlarging your capacity. For him to flow through you and to use you. We're doing this together. And by the way, if you didn't figure out, this rag is one of those ones that you can get wet and then put on it on a hot August sticky day when you're ready for snow, but snow's not coming. Put this on, it'll just make you feel good. So this is intentional. Right? This is usable. This is applicable. You can leave it from here. And you're like, oh, that's a nice rag. What am I going to do with this? When you're mowing the yard this week, think mission. I think Jesus is saying to Life Point Church, I want you to believe what I believe about you. I want you to believe the possibilities that you have of investing and influencing this community that I've put you in. See, many of us struggle with others speaking and calling things out of you or seeing things within you that you don't see within yourself. See, you know, when they speak to that which God has placed in you, because you don't see it in yourself. You see your faults, you see your failures, you see your previous mistakes or et cetera, et cetera. It's easier, how many know? Sometimes it's easier to believe the voices or your own voice rather than what God says about you. Oh, Steve, you can't do that. Steve, come on, man. You've never tried something like that. When we were at General Counsel, I'll just use myself as an illustration. For those of you that don't know, I'm working on my master's program right now, and I'm halfway through it, and you need to pray for me because I get a three-week window. I'm stepping into my last summer break, and let's just pray that this week lasts really, really long because I don't want my next class to start. It's a selfish prayer, I know, but join me. Lord, just But so I'm halfway through, and there's times where I'm doing this thing that I'm going, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm cut out for this. I don't know if I'm smart enough. I don't know if I have the abilities to do this. I mean, I wasn't a good student through high school. All my growing up years, I was like, you know, I wasn't a good student. I just wasn't. I mean, some of that's my own fault, but. Because of effort, but I wasn't there, and it wasn't important to me, and I just really felt like, you know, next step, I want to stretch myself, I want to grow, I want to develop, I want to be the individual that God needs me to be as we step into the next season of ministry for our church, and so I was like, okay, I'm going to do this program, and so I'm talking to one of my professors who I've known for a long time, because of a different role, and Robin's having conversation with a different professor because we're at the evangel booth there at General Counsel, and she's talking with Dr. Tyson, and Dr. Tyson is saying, hey, I mean, he, you know, I'm just going to go on because I don't want to cry, but it's because sometimes we hear our own voice instead of what God is speaking to us and what God says about us, and we hear our own can'ts instead of what God says, you can. You know what I'm talking about? And you're going and you're stepping back into your school year, and you're like, I can't reach my peers, the kids in the locker room, the kids in the hallway. They don't care about Jesus. They don't care about listening or hearing about this God who loves them. My colleagues in my work environment, they don't care. They just kind of look at me and turn me off, even when I mention the slightest thing about God. And you are tempted to trigger to the voice of you can't, because you feel alone. And God would say to you, you're not alone, I'm with you. Speak. I'll give you the words because I've chosen you. John 15:16 says this, I have chosen you and I have appointed you to bear fruit. The mission of God is demonstrated, it's defined, it's declared. One last thought, and this will be brief. The mission of God delivered. How is the mission delivered? We were once consumers of that mission, meaning that there is a point in your life, some point in your life where you were receiving the mission of God. You were far from God and you came to faith in Christ, and that mission grabbed a hold of your life. That mission found you, if you will. But now he has called you to take the mission. You're like, see, I don't know how to do that. I don't know. I mean, and we're talking more than just evangelism, but let's just talk on evangelism for a second, because there's an opportunity for some evangelism training coming up on September 7th, and you can talk to Gene Balthazar about it. I won't go into a lot of detail, but there is a desire for some individuals have a dream to do some training and then go to the state fair in Hutchinson and set up a prayer tent and just engage people and pray for them, but also reach out to them and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. But there's another leg to that, and maybe bringing that home to our own community during Fall Festival to doing something similar. So that's one element of living out this mission of investing in generations to influence community. But as I wrap this up, and if the worship team would come, the key word in this sermon series, if you would put the main graphic up, Jessica, for me, is we. We are LPC. And I want to submit to you, LPC is us. That we elevate, that we build up, that we equip, that we release, and we go, because we are the church. And the church doesn't live in the four walls of this building, because if it does, it'll die. It lives out there, and it comes back here on Sundays, and we celebrate what God has done out there, and he pours into us so that we can go out there and so that we can pour into other people, that we can serve other people, and if we need to, we can wash their feet. We can dampen their brow because it's hot outside, and we can be fresh water to them because of the Spirit that lives within us. We can come to them with a message that is not our own, but is of the eternal kingdom that we belong to. Go equals invest. It's scattering the seed. We know that not every seed that we scatter is going to reap a harvest. I mean, there's the law of the harvest that just speaks to that. Make is about discipleship. It's about influence. It's about coming along and understanding, look, I'm not going out there today. I'm not going out there tomorrow in my own authority and my own wisdom and my own understanding and just the right words to be able to speak into my brother or sister who's in need or this my neighbor who's far from God and doesn't even really know anything about the Bible. It's not about my words. It's about I'm going in his authority. I'm going as a representation of Jesus or an ambassador of Jesus. I'm going with his mouth and his words. He's going to help me. We'll be a church that isn't just for my generation, whatever generation you're a part of. It's a church for all generations. And we're really, really intentional about investing in every generation. Especially I want to just challenge us in the younger generations because, as I said earlier, out on the wall is the life sign and there's 20 bulb spots left. May they be filled up by the end of the year in the name of Jesus. But the majority of those bulbs are from people from the ages of 4 to 14. Because the younger generation is absolutely essential. Right? Our kids, our students are essential. So we're going to invest in them. But that doesn't mean we're not going to invest in the Larrys that got baptized yesterday, even though he's 50 years old. Because you have friends that are your age that need Jesus. And that seat that may be open next to you right now has their name on them. They're just asking you to bring them. Father, as we ponder this mission that you've given the church, and Lord, how we've tagged it here of investing in generations to influence community. God, we thank you for the bridges and the relationships that occurred 2 weeks ago with Convoy of Hope. God, we thank you for the partnerships that we have with our police department and doing things like Faith in Blue Weekend and Kids Fest. Lord, our life groups that do outreach projects, and those will be amping up here in a few weeks. And God, we do them not in our own authority, but in the authority of Jesus. God, we want our cup, the cup of our life, Lord. We don't want it to be half full or if we want to look at it as half empty, however we want to view it. God, we want our cup to be overflowing. So, Lord, that it's spilling over and it's impacting other people's lives. And God, I fully know that we're not a perfect church. God, I'm so far from being a perfect pastor. I feel so inept at times. God, and I'm sure all of us feel at times, God, I feel it's just easier to stay quiet about my faith because I feel like I don't do a good job representing you. Holy Spirit, I pray that individual that has chosen to listen to that voice instead of the voice of the Father that says, I've given you authority and I am with you. Go in that. Don't go in what you hear yourself speak of you. Go in what I say of you. Go in what I speak of you. God, that we would do that, that we would be that. And Lord, that this rally towel that we hold in our hand, Lord, would be not a towel that we keep at our chin, but it's a towel we take to our chest because we want to serve as you served. Lord, you're the champion. And you give us authority. And God, as we step to this time of just response to you, God, I pray that Holy Spirit, you would fill us with boldness, with courage, with conviction, with confidence to be your mouthpiece and to go. And Lord, to pour in to people. God, to live life not so fast that we miss opportunity. And God, I know that I can be the worst at that. But Lord, to be able to live at a pace that allows us to pour into people. God, because your word says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver, so we don't want to discount the simplest of things that can be a switch for somebody to come alive to Christ, to be encouraged in their faith, to know that they're valued and that they matter to you. God, for someone here today or watching online that they don't know you, that they haven't been in relationship with you, but Lord, as they've sat through this service, God, that they've sensed something going on within their own heart, that there's this stirring happening, that there's an awakening happening. If that is you, I would just say to you, that is the Holy Spirit, that is God speaking to you, that's God knocking on the door of your heart saying, if you will allow me, I will come into you and give you life, and life that is way, way better than anything that you've ever encountered in this world. And not only will it give you life for today, but it will give you eternal life through my Son, Jesus Christ, because he died for your sins, because all of us are sinners. He went to the cross for you, died for your sins. But 3 days later, he didn't stay on the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, overcoming death, hell, and the grave, the Bible tells us. He has life for you. And if you're here this morning, you're like, man, Steve, I need that. I need that type of life because I've tried to find life everywhere else and I come up short and I feel empty. I want that type of life. I want eternal life. I want the life of Christ to be my life. If you're here this morning and that's your prayer, would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. Anyone at all would say, Steve, would you just pray for me? I've never asked Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I want to do that. I see that hand back there. Anyone else? Anyone else that would say, Lord, Steve, pray for me. I wanted to give Jesus his rightful place in my life. See that hand. Lord, I thank you that you're not a God who is far off, but you're a God who draws near to the brokenhearted, to those who are broken in sin. You draw near to them. And so, Lord, right now we pray for these ones that have lifted their hands and have said, Jesus, I want to have life and life more abundantly. I want to choose you instead of my choices and my ways. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. God, I pray that, Lord, as they ask you for forgiveness, as they ask you to be their Lord and Savior, God, that you would boldly step into their life and be all that you are to them. Lord, that even in this moment right now, as we pray, that they would just feel this cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, this cleansing grace of God washing over them. And Lord, that they would know that there'd just be this confidence rising up within them, that they are valued, that they are loved, and that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of Jesus Christ. That their name is written in the book that Scripture speaks of you opening. And as we step before the throne of God and enter into heaven, our name needs to be in that book. And God, may May they just have that confidence in you right now, that it's not because of my effort, it's because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that raised your hand, if you would just look up at me real quick, I want to just talk to you. Before you leave today, I'm going to ask, I'm going to be back at the back table. If you're able, please come and find me. I want to talk to you real quick, all right? And just have a brief conversation with you. For the rest of us, as we step into this time of worship, I've ended early because I felt like the Lord wanted to speak some things to you about this message that's only for you. And he wanted to do it during this time of worship. And so as we step into this time, I encourage you, don't, service isn't over. It's not a time for you to slip out. It's a time for you to step to the Lord and what he would want, maybe would want to say to you. So can we do that? Let's stand. Father, as we spend these next moments in worship, God, there may be some that want to come to the altar and just surrender some things. Lord, maybe they need to just ask you to fill them with your Holy Spirit because they've been living and functioning in their own strength. Maybe they've been functioning in your Spirit, but God, they just feel really tired and they need you to fill them up. So God, during this time, Holy Spirit, fill this place. May our worship be elevated to you. And Lord, may we connect with you during these times. I pray in Jesus' name. And I'll come back here in a few minutes and dismiss us.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.